I'm Richard Dugan. Welcome to Tell Me Your Story. In 1945, the United States dropped the atomic bomb on Japan and the world caught its collective breath. And this provocative event deeply impacted our guest, Barbara Marks Hubbard, at a very early age. She posed the question, what is the meaning of our power that is so good to then-President Eisenhower? And this will spark our conversation today as we bring to you visionary Barbara Marks Hubbard on Tell Me Your Story. Stay tuned. And it is a beautiful Saturday afternoon here on the central coast of California. I'm Richard Dugan. Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, the program that brings you new paradigms for a new world. And today in studio, we have with us, as I've stated, visionary Barbara Marks Hubbard, who has basically been researching and studying and asking questions throughout the many years that she has been studying, if you will, this whole process of, you know, this power, especially when we talk about the atomic bomb. Welcome to our program. It's a pleasure to have you back again.
Thank you. I love being here.
Well, I wanted to ask you as we get started about your impressions when you heard about the quote that I read regarding the atomic bomb in 45, when you heard about that event taking place. Was that question the first thing that went through your mind?
No, the first thing was horror and distress. But since I came from a family that was a good friend of the generals of the Second World War, and I knew Eisenhower and Omar Bradley and George C. Marshall, and I admired those generals, and I admired the United States of America, and I grew up like a believer in the power mm-hmm. of the United States being good.
Mm-hmm.
So when I heard about the bombs, after the horror, a very clear question arose in my mind. What is the meaning of this new power that is good? And by new power, I meant mainly science and technology.
Mm-hmm.
What are images of the future using all this new power that is good?
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of images of destruction, of Armageddon, of life after death. But were there any images of life with all this power working creatively and constructively?
Yeah.
And the amazing thing I discovered, there were no shared images of our future equal to our power.
Wow. And we're going to talk about that as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story. And we're going to open up the phone lines for you if you'd like to join us. Number here is 564-1290. That's 564-1290. If you are listening live on the internet, and we are streaming live, at richarddugan.com. That's Richard, D-U-G-A-N.com. 866-564-1290. Stay with us. Barbara Marks Hubbard is our guest, and we are looking forward to a very lively discussion this afternoon. New paradigms that she has discovered over the years and that she will be sharing with both us here in studio and you. Stay with us. Tell Me Your Story is the name of the program, and my guest in studio is Barbara Marks Hubbard. And again, it is a pleasure to have you with us to actually, from our perspective, kind of continue the conversation from our last get-together. And we're talking about this new power that we discovered probably long before 45, but we saw the evidence of it in the atomic blasts of 1945. And there were two of them. And that shook a lot of people up.
Well, and rightly so. And since 1945, the human species has gained ever-increasing radical powers of destruction or co-creativity. And those are powers we used to attribute to gods. We can mm-hmm. blow up worlds. We could build little worlds in space. We can change our own bodies. We can redesign bodies. And what I see happening is if you combine all this new power from science and technology with spiritual evolution and with social evolution toward greater synergy, greater cooperation, with these new capacities, you begin to see emerging here a new species.
Yeah.
A new human and a new humanity, which I call universal human, universal humanity. And I think from 1945 to 2008 is the most dangerous and productive period of human history when we can destroy our biosphere or if we see that we can emerge as a co-evolutionary, co-creative species, we can become universal beings.
And you have been, in essence, at the forefront of creating a lot of different ways for people to see that vision that you've seen.
Yes.
And you have several different vehicles. One of them is a DVD that has been out for a couple of years, I believe.
Yes, Our Story. Mm-hmm. It's part of a series. I call it Humanity Ascending. And the basic question that I've been asking all my life and seeking responses to is, what is the meaning of our power that's good? So Our Story, the first of the series, gives us the evolutionary perspective and then shows that the meaning of our crises, which includes all the environmental problems, the social problems, are evolutionary drivers, are literally leading to innovation and transformation. And if you have evolutionary eyes and you start noticing what's emergent, creative, and innovative in health, education, spirituality, governance, new energy systems, and you put it together like an emerging whole system, you begin to see a new world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in our midst. But because most of the news doesn't cover it. In fact, we have a news filter mm-hmm. that sees what's divisive, sensational,
yeah.
Disastrous, and actually has a vested interest in more of that. So all of us who are emergent and creative and relatively new mm-hmm. in some respects, although ancient in other respects, are not considered news. I think you have a news show here.
Mm. Well, but you raise an interesting a concept in my mind that I've shared with you before, and that is that I have believed for some time that there is another way of living, and that's what you're talking about, that there is another way for us to live, because the current social structure, and again, the same breakdown of the topics or categories that you just gave us, if it was working, we would be doing a lot better, wouldn't we?
If it was working, we would be doing more of the same.
Okay, so the new vision, the new paradigm then is?
Well, the way evolution works is that it hits a crisis, and often with a young species, this is from Elizabeth Sartoris, a young species will overpopulate, will pollute, will start fighting itself, and overshoot its environment. If it does not learn to be symbiotic and cooperative with its environment and with itself,
mm-hmm.
it will go extinct. We are right at the threshold of either learning to cooperate with nature, with each other, and with that higher impulse or power within us, or we will destroy our biosphere. We will destroy ourselves. And I think that's the greatest wake-up call the human species has ever consciously had.
Wow.
And that, in fact, our crises today are evolutionary drivers. Millions of us are awakening. We are beginning to connect through social networks, through radio shows like this, through the guerrilla media, through internet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put all that together and imagine it connecting in a non-linear, exponential way, I think you'll see that we are at the threshold of a shift in consciousness and creativity that can change the world.
I have to tell you that my wife and I saw a movie last night. And the way that it was promoted, you would have expected it to have gone a different way. This was a movie by M. Night Shyamalan. And the movie is called The Happening. And quite honestly, as you're describing to us about a civilization from, what was the woman's name again, who talked about how if we overreach our environment?
Oh, Elizabeth Sartoris is a biologist.
Yeah. Well, if you go see this movie, it kind of, it tells you. Now, by the way, I love his movies because they are never what you expect them to be. They're wonderful. And I can kind of see that around me today and what you're talking about and what she is talking about as far as we are like on that cusp, right on the edge of outstripping our environment. We're not quite there yet. But we're so close.
Yes, and I'd like to give an interpretation of that as a natural phenomenon.
Okay.
Instead of a big mistake.
Okay.
I don't think it's a mistake that the humans with the big brain learned to be successful, learn to populate, learn how nature works, begin to understand the atom, the gene, the brain, gain all this power, and without having had the slightest awareness of it, start to overproduce, overpopulate, and reach the limits to growth on this earth. Until the 60s, we didn't even know we had an environment. So a natural growth phenomenon has occurred very much like a baby in a womb. We're in a womb of planet Earth and self-conscious humans. If we continue to grow in the womb of self-consciousness on a finite system, we'll destroy ourselves. If, however, our consciousness shifts to a co-evolutionary, co-creative universal, spirit-based but evolutionary scientific capabilities, you'll see we can restore the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
We can free ourselves from scarcity. And we can begin the vast exploration of the next stage of human evolution, both on this Earth, in the solar system, and at a galactic scale.
Some would say that that was supposed to have happened back, what was it, in the late 80s, with what was referred to as the harmonic convergence. There are those who are now saying that it's going to happen in, say, 2012, as referencing the Mayan calendar. Is there, are you aware of any kind of a timetable, or is this just something that we just keep moving through?
Very interesting question. I happen to have known Jose Arguelles, and I was in a radio station with him during harmonic convergence in Boulder, Colorado, going to these radio shows from different sacred sites.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was one of the events that began to increase the convergence and the consciousness on planet Earth. Not an ultimate event,
mm-hmm.
not the one that shifts the critical mass, but it certainly was building towards it. And even before that, there was one that John Randolph Price did where he wanted to get a million people in silence at the exact same moment, which would be enough to shift consciousness. There's an intuition in humanity that a critical mass of consciousness will actually shift the consciousness of the whole. How close we are to that, nobody knows exactly.
Yeah.
But I think there's a timing here. And the timing is not just because of the Mayans. The Mayans may have had a super intelligent understanding in their calendar, and many of us think they did. But it's very obvious that we can't keep overpopulating and polluting for hundreds of years and survive.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a natural Earth timing that a species who's this intelligent and can build bombs and can destroy its environment either learns conscious evolution or not. And if we don't learn it in a time frame that looks relatively short,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think anyone knows exactly what that time frame is, but it's definitely not hundreds of years.
Right.
And I know as a mother of five, I'll tell you a funny story. Once I didn't know about labor pains because my first baby, I had an induced labor. So the second pregnancy, I was supposed to go to New York to have this baby, and I was in Lakeville, Connecticut. And I suddenly started to get labor pains, and I didn't know what they were. So I called my doctor in Connecticut and said, I'm having every 3 minutes these labor pains, but I have to go to New York and get my hair cut, and I have some appointments, and I'm going to have the baby in New York. He said, Mrs. Hubbard, you get right over here. You're not going anywhere, Mrs. Hubbard. So as far as the human species is concerned, we're not really going to get away with hundreds more years of
right.
this. We're not going anywhere, folks. We're either learning quickly or we're going to devolve. That degree of devolution, nobody knows exactly what that looks like either, but there are real predictions of global warming, of the seas rising, of running out of water, of running out of the fish, of running out of this and that. And we can see, even with a cyclone or what's happening in Iowa, the terrible devastation of nature itself.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think is happening over and beyond all the moral stipulations and the religious efforts and even the spiritual intuitions is nature herself.
Yeah, and nature's just doing what nature needs and or wants to do.
And nature is feeding back to human nature. Coordinate, cooperate, co-evolve, or you will suffer terrible consequences. Yeah. And the great thing about this problem is you can't shoot it.
Yeah, no.
You can't bomb it.
That's right.
You can't fight it. And it doesn't have an accent. So all this tendency that the human species has to project enemies on one another,
Yeah.
And create enemies.
Yeah.
You can't make an enemy just out of Mother Nature.
Right.
Therefore, I think that we have the crises we need for self and social evolution, finally.
Yeah. I will have to say that I don't recommend people go see movies in particular, but if you want to fully understand what she's talking about, I would highly recommend you go see The Happening. It is. I wish I was getting a little bit of the residuals from the film myself from him, but nonetheless, it's unbelievable what is shared in this film. A lot of the folks who left going, "That's it," and I just sat there laughing, going, "Yeah, that's it."
I think it's really important as we face this crisis mm-hmm. that we see it as natural.
Yes.
We see it as pressing us toward innovation, creation, and compassion.
Yes.
Pressing us toward greater connectivity and love, both of nature, of each other, and of the proper use of science and technology.
Yeah.
I love the high technology. I've always loved the space program, for example. I love the idea of being a solar system species. I love the idea that possibly we will have bodies that can live longer and longer lives. And there's a lot of question, like with Greg Braden and Bruce Lipton, believe that it'll come through the change of belief and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There are others in the biological revolution who say we're going to learn how the DNA works and shift it. I say that we don't know yet, but we should assume that we're not earthbound in a closed biosphere forever, and that a lot of these new technologies may not be appropriate in a closed biosphere, but maybe exactly what we need if we're going to be galactic.
Yeah. Won't work over here, but it will work over here kind of thing.
And that we have to learn, this is where the greatest wisdom is required, and we have almost no guidelines.
Yeah. There's no manual.
You know, Bucky Fuller said, Spaceship Earth comes without an operating manual. But I want to bring up a point from my friend Jim Gardner, who's written The Selfish Biocosm and The Intelligent Universe. And Jim is a complexity theorist and a brilliant lawyer. It's an interesting combination. And he is quoting physicists like Heinz Pagel and others to say, apparently, underneath physics itself is a cosmic law, they're calling it. And here's the basic law: create more conscious life. And if you look at entire universe as a developmental process, from whatever the origin of creation was, from the mind of the cosmos, the mind of God, however you see that,
mm-hmm.
it's a continuous unfolding of complexity. So when you get to planet Earth, you'll see, 4.5 billion years ago, this small planet got formed, and on it eventually came single-celled life, and then multicellular life, and then animals, and then biospheres, and then humans. This is create more conscious life. So if you place humans in the cosmic code, our intention for more consciousness, more freedom, mm-hmm. through more complexity, through more spiritual, social, and scientific capacity is part of a cosmic code. This is not just a human whim, but we're not going back to the same as before. We're going forward because the universe relentlessly accumulates experience. The universe doesn't forget what it learns.
Hmm.
And what Jim Gardner is saying is that if we're not alone in this universe, if planet Earth is a womb for our life, and assuming there are others, once you get past this barrier of self-conscious, earthbound life and move into universal cosmic intelligence on this Earth and beyond, you begin to get ever more intelligent. Then you begin to add the supercomputer robotics and nanotech and biotech and spirit. And you begin to realize that you may not be alone in this universe. And there could be billions of other planets going through this. And he foresees a cosmic cultural convergence of intelligence.
Wow.
And the collective intelligence generated by universal life, starting with planet Earth, because we can see it's happening to us with all these supercomputers added to it and the space program and all of this. he imagines that that collective intelligence is what we used to think of as God. God, the mysterious intelligence out of which all is arising, mm-hmm. is an unknown here. It's a true mystery.
There's just a guy floating in the air with the white beard.
but out of that mystery has come the code, create more conscious life.
Yeah.
And I like to place us humans on planet Earth as part of a universal code of conscious life. And that we are motivated internally, and I wanted to say this, that when we get scared that we could run out of energy, that we could destroy ourselves, everybody is being called to their deeper life purpose. Called, like you are,
mm-hmm.
called to their creative expression. Called to join their genius with others. Called to evolve beyond the short lifespan of a self-conscious human, reproducing and dying. I think we're called to self-evolve and grow.
I imagine the Earth, taking it to the microcosm, to the macro, yourself being a mother of children and going through the birthing process, that the planet, as you've described as well, we as humanity are being birthed out into the cosmos, that hopefully we don't destroy ourselves in the process to where, you know, we end up, I don't know where or what, but that we birth ourselves out into that collective that you're describing.
I think so, and I believe that when we become attracted to shared visions of our potential future, spiritual, social, and scientific, technological, and that we're going through a very dangerous crisis of birth of ourselves as a co-evolutionary, co-creative species, that our religious intuitions of the past, like the New Jerusalem, or paradise, mm-hmm. or a new heavens and a new earth, were actually precognitive flashes of what's potential at the next stage of evolution.
Yeah.
Then, instead of being afraid of all of this, we become attracted.
Yeah.
And my next DVD is called Visions of a Universal Humanity. And I've interviewed some really brilliant people like Bruce Lipton, and Freeman Dyson, and Gene Houston, and Nassim Harriman, and many other great physicists and sociologists, like Michael Dowd, who wrote Thank God for Evolution. And I'm attempting to piece together, in a very early way, the vision of ourselves at the next stage of evolution.
Fascinating. And we're going to continue talking more about this, as well as the DVD and many other subjects along the lines of a new paradigm for a new life, a new world, a new vision for us as people here on the Central Coast, for us as people of humanity. And we'll continue talking with Barbara Marks Hubbard here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, if you'd like to give us a call. Number is 564-1290, 564-1290, or 866-564-1290 if you're listening live on the Internet at richarddugan.com. Stay tuned. Tell Me Your Story is the name of the program. I'm Richard Dugan. We're here with Barbara Marks Hubbard, and we're going to continue talking about this new paradigm for a new world, this new consciousness that we are. Maybe we do or don't have a choice. Maybe we're all being propelled in that direction, and I'll put that to Barbara as we come back. You can find out more by going to BarbaraMarksHubbard.com. That's BarbaraMarksHubbard.com. There's a link to her website at RichardDugan.com as well. Stay tuned. The number is 564-1290. Stay with us. Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and you are listening to a Saturday broadcast with Barbara Marks Hubbard. She is a local visionary, and she also has a website you can check out. It is BarbaraMarksHubbard.com, and I have to tell you that it is always wonderful when you can get a .com with your name on it. And both you and I were able to do that, and you've been providing people with information for years, but you've been gathering information for years as well on this ever-expanding subject. I mean, we started off in one direction, even though we're still in the same stratosphere, if you will. There are so many tendrils that go out, touching so many different areas. We were talking about the birthing, the crisis, as you describe it. Where are we in that birthing process? Not being a woman, I don't know, and I've never really researched what the steps are before the child pops out. Where
are
we?
Well, as a planetary midwife,
okay,
of sorts, I would just do this as a guess. I think the period from about the 60s through the 80s was a period of birth, particularly when we popped through the biosphere, through Apollo program, and we actually saw ourselves from outside the womb of Earth as one body.
No boundaries.
No boundaries, and we fell in love with ourselves as a whole.
Mm.
It's almost like we've had universal consciousness spiritually, but we never had it physically before. That was what the astronauts were able to do and the cosmonauts. So I think the period of the 60s, 70s, 80s was a period of the very earliest emergence of our planetary species as one whole body. But when we looked at Earth from space, we didn't see the people. We didn't see the systems. We didn't see our telecommunication systems, what's called the noosphere, the thinking layer.
Yeah.
We didn't see the language. We didn't see the technology. We didn't see the thought of planetary consciousness. However, from the 60s, 70s, 80s through 2008, that thinking layer of Earth has been maturing, has been growing to so much power that it can destroy its own biosphere. Like a baby is going to die if it doesn't somehow learn that it's been born. Mm-hmm. I think we've been born, and I think we're about to take our first coordinated breath. Like, because we're panicking.
Yeah.
If we don't coordinate ourselves as a planetary whole, if we don't understand how to handle our ecology, if we don't know how to manage ourselves as a living system, we can see that we'll run out of resources. We'll run out of non-renewables.
Yeah.
We're going to pollute our environment. So we're getting the signal like a newborn baby. You have to coordinate. Now, a first coordinated breath, I think the combination of consciousness connectivity and new systems in health, in education, in local currencies, in new energies. When you think of that as organic potentials within the systems of our new planetary body, you will see we're just about ready to coordinate that through social networking, and we're just about ready to coordinate our consciousness through all these mass meditations, and our internet is just about ready to link us up. We don't yet have coherence. We don't yet have coordination. We don't yet have the degree of connectivity we need. And my work right now is with a group of people who are saying, how can we coordinate that which is creative? And we're seeing it as a wheel. That's a symbol. If you think of the spiral of evolution, as little turns on the spiral, we'll put a wheel in our turn, and it's always turning, and put health, education, economics, energy, governance, and put innovations in every sector of the wheel, and see them connected, and see every single person as contributing to the turning of the wheel who wants to be creative. Like this radio show is part of the turning of the wheel. If I were to visualize us, we would be in the wheel of evolution around communications. Your show would be an actual live evolutionary event right now.
Mm-hmm.
We are evolution here. This is not just about my work. This is happening.
This is your work at this very moment in the present.
You and I looking into each other's eyes, and whoever is listening to this and wherever this is going out is turning the wheel of co-creation. And everybody whose acts are contributing right now in any field of endeavor, in any culture, is contributing to the turning of the spiral. But what we haven't yet seen is that connected as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people that I'm working with that are attempting to create movies that use the wheel, that create internet sites that use the wheel, that create conferences where people meet in various sectors and look for common goals and match their needs with their resources in a synergistic convergence. And I am one of the many people facilitating coming together as a whole that is greater than the sum of our parts. And so I think the crisis is, we have to coordinate. We haven't yet coordinated because all our institutions are designed for separation. The nation state is designed as collective egoic sovereignty. the global corporation is designed to compete short range. The academic institutions in the disciplines, they're designed as separate fields. Mm-hmm. And the organized religions are designed to say we're the ones, we're the only ones. Now, none of those institutions can coordinate a planet. So we are developing a new social architecture and a new collective global intelligence. And that absolutely fascinates me.
Yeah. What I am beginning to understand as you are describing this is that the institutions that are in existence today won't necessarily, they will basically be sloughed off because they don't serve the new birthed consciousness that is beginning to expand across the planet.
There's a very delicate timing here. If the current institutions collapsed today, mm-hmm. the emerging connectivity is not mature enough
right.
to run the planet. But here, this is from my friend Jean-François Nubel. You can look him up on the web. He points out that we had original collective intelligence in the tribal mode for hundreds of thousands of years, probably. And everybody knew everybody else in these small groups. Then about 7,000 years ago, we came into the pyramid social structure of hierarchy. Somebody at the top, whether it's an emperor, a king, a CEO, a parent, a teacher, and underneath are other people all the way down, and nobody is allowed to know the whole. And money is built into that system that creates scarcity, creates competition. What Jean-François is saying, that many of us are beginning to move into global collective intelligence, and the structure of that is small groups, but it's not back to original tribal culture. Mm-hmm. It's small groups connected with small groups connected with small groups using internet and cyberspace to find out how to bring your inner purpose together with other people's purpose. And that a new social system is being born right now.
Now, there would be those who might take the position that, well, is this the new world order that people are so fearful of? And that kind of thing. And it
no.
doesn't sound to me as though, because you have no centralized governing body.
It's precisely that it can't be controlled.
Yeah.
Now, I think there are vested interests that are trying to control society. And they may be in the economic field, in the political field, but they would be the old world order trying to control the world.
Right.
However, the new emergent social architecture is the order of higher complexity, mm-hmm. of greater connectivity and greater unique individuality within the whole. And it can't be controlled unless we have some terrible breakdown,
and
like a martial law or
right.
something, you know, that you hear about people wanting to control. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but it's completely unnatural.
Right. And it sounds to me like you're also saying that even as individuals, Barbara and Amrita and Richard, we're not going to lose our individuality and our individual creativity and our that aspect of personhood as part of those communities and then the communities with communities and the internet and so forth.
I think exactly that. Not only are we not going to lose it, our uniqueness and our potential is being drawn forth.
And actually pulled out and expand.
Look at you. And look, if you were given a full range of wanting to realize your potential, and you don't need a lot more to do this, you would become ever more uniquely who you are.
Uh-huh.
If I had even more resources to do what I need to do and more connectivity, this inner knowing that's been motivating me for 40, 50 years would be more unique through joining, mm-hmm. not less unique. So the quality of social architecture is to increase individual uniqueness and freedom through joining to create. And it happens on an inner plane, and it also happens that the society that's created by that is ever more diverse.
So the more people we connect with and communicate with and dialogue with and gather with to understand where they're coming from, the greater we become as individuals.
Yes, and particularly if you are in a state of joy together.
Yeah.
Now, this sounds might sound a little sappy, but the actual signal of co-creation is joy.
Yeah.
Is that nature put joy into sexuality to get us to reproduce the species.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come to think of it, they had to really work hard to get us to have that many children. It's exhausting. You have one, much less.
Yeah.
All the one, but we can't continue to double the population. It's,
right.
It is falling already. Population growth is lowering. So I feel that the energy that has gone into self-preservation and self-reproduction is available and being used for self-evolution, for creative expression, and it's a life force as great as sexuality.
Wow.
And that the world will really be changed through supra-sexual co-creation, not fear, guilt, and power.
You know, it in the studies that we've been through over the years of the various, we'll call them types of energies, if you will, that sounds very, very exciting.
It is. I mean, like, who is really forcing you to do these radio shows?
No one.
No. Are they paying you $1 million?
Not quite.
No. So are you doing this just because there's so much money in it?
No.
No. Neither am I, and neither is anybody that I know
right.
who is motivated by the desire to express and create. Now, if we're fortunate, we may get enough resources, but we're not motivated by that.
Right.
We're motivated by the passion to create.
Yes.
It's just like you don't usually have babies because somebody pays you to have those babies.
Right.
It's the same thing, but instead of more and more babies, it's giving birth to the self and to its creativity through joining.
You mentioned the possibility of people somehow finding a way to manipulate and control this new birth, if you will. We'll call it that. And we talk about the spiritual aspects of all of this. And am I too naive to think that the universe would never let that happen?
I think
if you're in spirit and your intuition is guiding you, how could anybody come along and manipulate and turn that?
Well, you know, we've had terrible dictators in the recent past. We had
sure.
Hitler, we had mm-hmm. Stalin. But none of them can last forever.
Mm-hmm.
We've had terrible empires of power. We've had the Roman Empire. We've had the British Empire. We have had the Spanish Empire, the Belgian Empire, and we have the American Empire. That won't last. Because something there is that does not like a wall that wants it down.
Yeah.
It's Robert Frost. And I believe that the age of empire is actually coming to an end because you can't control the system and you can't manage an ecology by an empire. And if we actually are going to have increased environmental disasters being controlled by people who are in the pyramid structure of trying to dominate and control for self-interest, they will fail.
Yeah.
And there's a built-in failure that's very important. Now, right now, a lot of people are profiting from the current crisis. The people are profiting from the war in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
There are people profiting from the oil business. There are people profiting from the health industry. There are people profiting from selling cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
There are obstacles to our evolution. But once we know what those obstacles are and put the light of attention on the bullies, delegitimize the bullies.
Mm.
Just bring them to awareness and connect the positive and have a vision of our collective potential that's greater than the sum of our parts that motivates that transcendent nerve in us
mm-hmm.
that gets us excited to create like we are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 78 years old. You'd think I might be finished. Actually, I still feel like I'm at the beginning. Now, that's interesting.
It is, to me... I have a ways to go to get there. I will get there, and I'm hoping beyond.
You'll get to 78, you mean?
Way beyond that. I made a promise, not exactly to my great-grandmother. She lived to be 100, and I remember when she was in her late 80s, I used to say to people, I'm going to outlive her. And as she got into her 90s and approaching 100, I would say the same thing, and she's making it really hard. But I was glad she lived as long as she did, and I hope to live beyond that. And that's a whole other area as far as this fountain of youth and being able to live as long as we want. In terms of other programs and interviews with other guests who believe that we can do that. And I sometimes wonder, when you look at the world as it is today, why would anybody want to live here for 100 or 500 years? But if there's a change that's going on, it's like, I would love to be here to experience that.
Not only that, we are the change. Mm-hmm. It's not that the change is just coming. We are the change.
Tell me your story. Did you want to go on the air?
Yes, she is.
And your name, sir, is?
Tim.
All right, Tim, you're on the air with Barbara Marks Hubbard.
Barbara.
Yes.
You've got a lot of things right there. And God gave us this planet to enjoy, not to destroy. But one of the things is our upper echelon is the ones that are screwing everything up, because I don't have anything against you, and I bet you a lot of the Iranians have nothing against me. And, you know, if the Iranians want a nuclear bomb, sell them one.
Well, I don't think we should sell, I don't think we should have nuclear proliferation or nuclear weapons at all, and I would like to go in the other direction of us getting, releasing some of our own nuclear weapons and the Russians, and we have to set a new example on this earth. That's not an immediate answer to the problem of Iran, but I'm sure that war is not the answer to what's happening in Iran.
No, and Tim, I thank you very much for your call. You're listening to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and we're going to come back for our final segment, a short little piece to talk about her DVDs that are available through her website, which is also available to you, and our website and email addresses. We'll give all that information to you as we continue with Tell Me Your Story with Barbara Marks Hubbard, a local visionary, world visionary, and a new paradigm for, we hope, will be a brand new world. Hope you can handle it. Stay tuned. This is Tell Me Your Story. I am Richard Dugan, your host, and my guest is Barbara Marks Hubbard, and she is in studio with us talking about her vision and that of many other folks who share. How do you get people to share your vision, if you will, because it's your vision. Barbara Marks Hubbard is the one, as a little girl or young woman, who came up with this question and has been carrying this on for years, but nobody else can have the vision that Barbara Marks has. Or well, can they?
Well, I find so many people now have visions that I am just thrilled that the visions that I have been motivated by are simply piecing together what's emergent. It's not like a personal revelation that I had in the middle of the night. I could see with Apollo that we're going to be physically universal. I could understand through spiritual evolution that we're going to be more conscious of consciousness. I could see that we have huge new capacities. And I actually have pieced together quite a logical early beginning of what's feasible. And in my forthcoming DVD Visions, I've interviewed people who are scientists and sociologists and spiritual leaders and activists like Jean Houston, and I'm asking them what they see. And this is not just me.
Mm-hmm.
And it never was just me. But I was one of the early current versions of finding a new vision.
So in other words, you're coming across people and you share yours, they share theirs, and it's like, how could you be thinking that? I was thinking that too, kind of aha moment.
It's that, and it's even more interesting than that, that everyone has a unique aspect to add to something greater than anybody's vision.
And that's what you were talking about before. Yeah. Now Barbara Marks Hubbard has expanded. But so have all the other folks, because you came together.
And I am now so realizing that there's this phrase from Teilhard de Chardin, everything that rises converges.
Mm.
What's happening is the people who have been rising up towards greater consciousness, greater freedom, greater effectiveness are converging into something that's a new whole.
Mm.
And none of us have fully participated in the new whole. So it's very exciting right now.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to continue this conversation for a little time after the program is over, and that will be available up on the website, richarddugan.com, as part of this interview. And Barbara has agreed to stay with us for a short time after the broadcast, and we'll continue recording the program, and then that portion will be available if you'd like to hear more conversation about what we've been talking about in this past hour. And Barbara, I do want to thank you so much. And I would love to have you back again.
I love being on this show.
Over and over again.
Because it's the subject that most interests me, is where is the human race evolving toward?
Yeah. Are you where you want to be today?
You know, I am so happy, so grateful to be alive, to have lived long enough to see that the breakdown breakthrough moment is here.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to be attracted to what's breaking through. So my life is filled with people who are innovative and creative. And it's very joyful and exciting.
Well, thank you for sharing that joy and excitement with us. Next week, we are going to have David Hawthorne with us, the 3-Minute Astrologer. He will be taking your phone calls so that you can basically have that roadmap to the new world, if you will. A new paradigm for a new world. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Thanks for joining us. Love to Law.